AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson, back with you here on a Friday afternoon. Happy to welcome the new leader of the Senate DFL, Melissa Lopez-Franzen. She represents District 49, which includes portions of Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, Bloomington, and Edina. Also happens to be my own state senator, so happy to welcome her onto the show. Again, new DFL Senate leader, as we have a number of topics to talk about, including her new leadership role, as well as what's being debated at the state legislature with this COVID worker relief money. Senator Franzen, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So I have to start off by saying this. It's really unusual in the state Senate, or really any legislative chamber, to have both caucus leaders, in this case the Republicans and the DFL, have their leaders step down at roughly the same time. What challenges have you been experiencing now that we've, of course, have two new Senate leaders right now in that chamber?
Well, it's not that we are new to the legislature, so the challenge is more on the timing and getting geared up for session, and in this particular instance, potentially a special session. So it's getting ducks in a row, staff organized, and just bringing your new vision for how to conduct ourselves in this next legislative session, but also in the next legislative cycle that has already started.
So what are you hoping to bring to the DFL chamber in the Senate as the new leader? What would you like to see?
Well, for me and for our caucus, we want unity. We want to be able to hit the ground running in this next election cycle as well as the legislative cycle. And we need to come together. We've had a really rough patch, just like any other workplace, with COVID and having remote session and ability to do hybrid session. And we've missed a lot of our colleagues, a lot of our new colleagues who, honestly, some did not meet their colleagues in person up until the very last part of the legislative session in May. So they were elected in November and had not even seen their colleagues until 6 or months plus. So it was challenging from a staffing standpoint as well, because we are still open for our constituents 24/7, and we have staff literally at the Capitol, but in this case also remotely. So those are challenges that we're overcome. So we're trying to get back into gear as well.
Now, as you mentioned, there could be a special session coming up within the next few days or weeks, and this has to do with about $250 million that was set aside by the state legislature that is intended as relief money for workers, of course, during last year's, when we were in the worst of the pandemic. Now, we know the money is there. That was passed, the $250 million, but really the disagreement between Republicans and Democrats right now is, who is going to get that money and where is that money going to be spent? So talk a little bit about the background of this and where you would like to see this money spent as opposed to the Republicans.
Well, Brett, you said when we were in the middle of the worst part of the pandemic, a little known fact is that we are really surging right now, and it's getting, the numbers no are doubt. Starting to trend in the wrong direction with the Delta variant. And that is one of the pieces that we're still trying to deal with, because yes, we've trying to compensate workers for their heroic work in the midst of the pandemic, but we're still dealing with numbers rising and lack of workforce and lack of the inoculation in the whole population. So we're still seeing infection rates go up, so and even amongst children. So we want to make sure that we compensate these workers the $250 million that we agreed to, and that we also look forward to the future, how we're going to deal with the crisis right now in nursing homes, where we're also seeing, the issues don't stop, right? They just keep compounding. So let's put this, keep our promise, put this to rest and move forward. And how do we encourage this workplace and support this workplace for these workers that are still doing and are exhausted doing this work of taking care of Minnesotans?
So as I understand it right now, when it comes to this pot of $250 million, which has been set aside for the relief workers, the Democrats and, of course, the rest of the DFLers mostly want to cast a wide net for workers who could be eligible for this money. That could include people who are first responders, corrections officers, those that work in hospitals, nursing homes, others who work in schools, grocery stores, meatpacking plants, retail, shelters, airports, transit, and lots of other industries. While Republicans really want to narrow that focus, and their argument is saying that, well, we can offer this smaller group of people more money as opposed to the Democrats who want to cast a wider net and spread that money out a little bit more. What would you say to that Republican argument that they want to make things more meaningful, as they say, and have that money go to a smaller pot of workers?
Well, I think we, as Democrats, don't want to leave any person behind. And a lot of people put their lives on the risk, whether they were in the meatpacking industry or at a nursing home taking care of our seniors. And there are different settings, and we certainly know the level of risk. We have data that can help us figure that out. But to make it too narrow that we leave people who were vulnerable, because these jobs are also low-wage jobs, and we know we relied on them heavily and they were still taking risk and going to different workplaces. I think we have to really understand the workplace, understand the risk levels, but we don't want to leave people behind and use the excuse that we want to have a meaningful check. I think people need to know that we appreciate the work and the work ethic that they remain during COVID, and that we are not forgetting their contributions to keeping us safe at home while they were working, because they were essential. So I wish we had a bigger pot, and I think we can have another discussion about that in our legislative session. But right now, let's keep this promise. Let's keep this net, this scope of people that really had a lot at risk and were lower-wage workers. We're not talking about doctors here. We are talking of people working in a hospital who were exposed because they were either dietitians or they were working in janitorial staff and also nurses. So those are the different people that we're talking about, but we're also talking about the meat packers and the folks who were in more exposed in their line of work as well, behind the scene in the food and distribution line.
We're speaking with Senator Melissa Lopez Franzen from District 49. She was recently elected a Senate Minority Leader for the DFL. And I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago that, well, we're still in the worst of the pandemic. And I would most certainly agree with the type of surges we've been seeing over the past few weeks and months. And I think, as you were saying, it's important to make sure we don't forget some of these workers, especially, for instance, meatpacking plants, where I remember back in March and April of 2020, how we had so many workers that were coming down with COVID that had to miss time. It was a very rough time for a lot of our frontline workers or retail workers at grocery stores. So I think it's important, too, to make sure we don't forget about them, because it's easy to it can feel like it was about 10 years ago when we were in March or April of 2020, when we had so much support for those types of workers that, yeah, I think I agree with you there. We can't really forget about them as we head here into the rest of 2021.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we can talk about every single worker who helped us keep those classrooms open, those teachers that also put themselves at risk. So, you know, expanding the scope of this aid, I wish we can do more because there's so many people who went above and beyond to keep classrooms open, like I said, and also to really keep the economy propped up, were those people who didn't have the option of working from home. They actually had to physically go to work. And we should honor our promise. And if we have to go back and find more funds in the next session, so be it. But to limit the scope just because we don't have enough funding, I think it's not setting us up for success. And also, I mentioned the exhaustion of workers that are really doing overtime on many of these settings. So we have to acknowledge that.
Now, as I understand, there are a group of six lawmakers from both parties that are part of this bipartisan panel that are trying to work out a deal on where this $250 million is going to be spent and who is going to be getting it. Oh, have we heard any progress from this panel in terms of reaching an agreement before we get to the special session? What's the status right now?
Well, the status is whether we have a two-tier system, one for people who potentially workers that were at higher risk and exposed at higher levels than other settings. So trying to figure out if that's an equitable way to look at this and have a bigger check for those tier one and a second tier two versus having everyone, regardless of risk, getting the same amount and spreading that check. So that's where it's at right now. And I think we can get a pass. But the other piece that I think listeners should know is that the main reason we haven't passed this agreement is because the Republicans on the Senate side are set on firing a commissioner of health in the middle of a pandemic. So it's directly tied to the issue, because the same person who's guiding us during this pandemic is the same person that's keeping those workers safe. And to have that on the table as a condition of passing this money is ludicrous and frankly irresponsible.
Yeah, and that certainly is complicating the whole matter, is the fact that, as you said, the Republicans are threatened to remove yet more commissioners, something they already have done in the past. Now, I know Governor Walz has said he is not planning on calling a special session until there is an agreement which states that they will not be firing any more commissioners. And more specifically, we are talking, of course, about Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm, who has been a target of Republicans. I've always been curious about that statement from Walz, because is there anything that could prevent the GOP from breaking their word once we head into a special session? Or is it is there anything you guys could do as the DFL to make sure they don't break their word if we do reach an agreement and they say, all right, we're not going to fire Malcolm or any other commissioners?
Well, Brett, in the almost 10 years I've been in the legislature, we've never gone to a special session without an agenda that all stakeholders, the majority and minority, sign on to. It's basically your blood and oath that this is what the agreement is, and it's never been challenged or changed. So I would hope that the Republicans can be trusted, and if there is no agreement, again, signed by the majority and the minority parties and leaders of each party in caucus, I don't think we'll go into special session, because if you can't give your word and sign on it and shake on it, then we have a completely different set of rules that we've never worked under. And I think it would set a really bad precedent for the state of Minnesota if we're going to be just playing politics with every single decision that we're going to make when a special session is needed in the future.
And final question for you here, Senator Melissa Lopez-Franz. And I know Governor Walz has proposed a $10 million relief package for people who have been affected by the drought that we've seen this year. What are the prospects for getting that sort of money passed during this special session, since obviously we have plenty of Minnesotans who have been hurt by the drought we've seen this summer and fall?
Absolutely. I think that is an issue that we can all compromise and certainly agree on. I think people know that I was at FarmFest this year for other reasons, namely a really bad accident. But the fact that I was there was to listen to people and farmers about how this drought and other issues affect the farming community. And the fact that we heard back then in August that this was an issue and it was going to become increasingly so, and we're still hearing from farmers, especially those on the cattle side of farming, that this is a big issue and that they need the support from the government. And that is what we're here for, to help. We've done this before when there's a flood. We've done it in droughts. We've done it in emergency situations when it comes to the weather. And this is our duty, to step up and help our neighbors, and in this case, our farmers. And the DFL has an F in DFL that stands for farmer. And we're going to be, hold on our bargain to help farmers during this drought. And I think we can get that done in a special session.
We've been speaking with State Senator Melissa Lopez-Franz in District 49, which includes a portion of the Southwest Metro, including the cities of Edina, Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, and Bloomington, parts of all four of those cities. She is also the newly elected DFL Senate leader, as we've been talking through some of the recent news from the state legislature and the possible upcoming special session on worker relief pay. Senator Lopez-Franz, and thanks so much for joining me on the show today. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, too. Have a good one.
All right, let's take a break and send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.